क्षेमस्य शरणस्य च सर्वकामवरस्यापि हरेश्चरण आस्पदम् विक्रमो भूर्भुवः स्वश्च क्षेमस्य शरणस्य च सर्वकामवरस्यापि हरेश्चरण आस्पदम् विक्रमो भूर्भुवः स्वश्च क्षेमस्य शरणस्य च सर्वकामवरस्यापि हरेश्चरण आस्पदम् विक्रमो भूर्भुवः स्वश्च क्षेमस्य शरणस्य च सर्वकामवरस्यापि हरेश्चरण आस्पदम् यस् प्लीज् विक्रमो भूर् क्षेमस्य शरणस्य च सर्वकामवरस्यापि अपि अरे शरण आस्पदम् लेडीज यू लाइक टू सी विक्रमो भूर्भवस्वश्च क्षेमस्य शरणस्य च सर्वकामवरस्यापि हरे शरण आस्पदम् एनीवन एल्स भूर्भुवस्वश्च क्षेमस्य शरणस्य च सर्वकामवरस्यापि हरे शरण आस्पदम् हरे कृष्ण यस एनीबडी वरस्यापि हरेश्चरण आस्पदम् विक्रमः फॉरवर्ड स्टेप्स भूहु भुवः ऑफ द लोअर एंड अपर प्लैनेट्स स्वः एज वेल एज ऑफ हेवन च ऑल्सो क्षेमस्य ऑफ प्रोटेक्शन ऑफ ऑल that we have, sharanasya of fearlessness, cha also, sarva kama, all that we need, varasya of all the benedictions, api, exactly, harehe of the Lord, charanaha, the lotus feet, aspadam, shelter. Translation. Thus the forward steps of the Lord are the shelter of the upper, lower and heavenly planets, as well as for all that we need. His lotus feet serve as protection from all kinds of fear. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. For absolute protection from all sorts of fear, as well as for all our needs of life, we must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Not only in this planet, but also in all the upper, lower or heavenly planets. This absolute dependence of the lotus feet of the Lord is called pure devotional service. And it is directly hinted at within this passage. No one should have any kind of doubt in this matter. nor should one be inclined to seek the help of any other demigods, because all of them are dependent on Him only. Everyone except the Lord Himself is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Even all pervading super soul is also dependent on the supreme aspect of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupak Tadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Can everybody chant together once? Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. So this is a very unique experience of giving a class. While the audience is fully busy in serving and also ears are available to listen to the message of the Lord. So, and another unique experience is nobody is going to sleep in this class. That is good for me. The only person who is not allowed to sleep in the class is the speaker. But in this particular situation, everybody is going to be awake. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We will speak few minutes on the verse. There is a beautiful song written by Thakur Bhakti Vinod. Ekhona Bojinu Prabhu. This verse is talking about the lotus feet of the Lord and the activity to be done in connection with the lotus feet of the Lord is to surrender to them, surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord. So what does happen when one surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord or takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord? Ekhona Bhujinu Prabhu Tomara Charana Ashoka Bhayamruta Purna Sarvakana. This means, when we take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, we become free from all kinds of fear. We become free from all kinds of lamentation and we derive the nectar that our soul is hankering for. All our life, we are only having two kinds of sufferings. One is due to hankering for something what we don't have and due to losing something what we have. So both kinds of fears or lamentations or sufferings are vanquished or nullified when one takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Second thing is, we are always living in the material world, in the material life, in fear that whatever we possess, it may be taken away from us. And surely, kalos me, time I am, the destroyer of all. Everything that we have is being slowly, slowly and steadily and surely is being taken away by the Lord in the form of time. But when one takes shelter of the feet of the Lord, the fear of losing or fear of anything, fear of death or fear of defamy or fear of any other kind of fear that we are having, everything is abolished. And it's just not having fear, not having lamentation, but we do get the nectarian experience that our soul is hankering for. The real need of the soul. So, Thakur Bhakti Vinod is saying that Sakala Chhadiya Tuva Charana Kamale. I have given everything up to take shelter of the lotus feet of yours. And I'm just residing or I'm just at your lotus feet all the time. And now that I have taken shelter of a lotus feet, Amara Palana Bhara Ekhona Tomara. Which means all my maintenance responsibility is with you now. Now, it sounds a very good poetry. It may also sound like a beggar who is trying to take shelter of somebody because he doesn't have anything anyways. So, he will get something from the person who is taken shelter of. But it is not so. The person who is talking like this is a topmost magistrate or a judicial judge in the British era, about 200 years back. And nobody from Indian origin had derived so much of respect from British government. He was the one. There is nobody in the history of mankind, in Indian history, who has received a railway line from the office to his doorstep. Nobody. And that too from British government. In the foreign rule on India. And wealth, no problem. He was a big officer. He had big facilities. He had big power, big influence. He was government man, so a lot of millions of rupees were turned here and there by his signatures. He had a big house. We have visited that house in Godrumadweep, in Namadweep. And we also have seen the railway line ending at his house, at the main gate of his house, of compound. That person is saying, the Sakala Chhadiya, I've given up everything and I've taken shelter at your lotus feet. Does he have any problem of maintenance? No. He is a super rich man also at the same time. Being a great devotee, at the level of heart, he is taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And he is saying, now the responsibility of my maintenance, Amara Palana Bhara, to maintain me bodily, mentally, physically, socially, it is your job, my Lord. I fully depend upon you. So that is why we sing and read and understand the poetry written by our great predecessors and acharyas. Because when we read their poetry, we share their feelings, the consciousness that they have. Then he says, till the time I took shelter of your feet, I was living independently. I had my own life, own goals, own activities. But Swatantra Jivane, by living life independent of you, not depending on you, I have gone through a lot of miseries. I suffered a lot. But now, as soon as I took shelter of your feet, all those so-called hovering, overpowering, bewildering miseries have vanished. As a big surprise. So you have to understand that we all are seeking relief from pain and sufferings. But till we take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, there will be no actual relief of our sufferings. Then he says, to attain these two lotus feet of yours, Lakshmi Devi performed tapasya. And for your information, she is still doing tapasya in a place called Belvan. In Vrindavan Dham. She is still standing there. To attain the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Who is Lakshmi? She is the consort of Vishnu. She is the wealth personified. Fortune personified. Good luck personified. And she resides at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. She is in fact the acharya of serving the lotus feet. Pada Sevanam. One of the nine processes of bhakti is called Pada Sevanam, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, and she is supposed to be the foremost acharya of serving the lotus feet of the Lord. She never leaves the lotus feet of the Lord, but she has done good tapasya to attain that position. And she is also giving up that position to attain the lotus feet of Krishna, who is another divine Madhurya form of Lord Vishnu. So you can imagine the importance and the value of the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Shiva is a very unique personality. Even Brahma, who creates Lord Shiva in the material sense, in the sense of this world, Brahma also has to leave one day. But Lord Shiva is a unique personality, although apparently technically comes through the way of Lord Brahma, but he is an eternal principle called Shiva Tattva. And it is explained here, how did he get the position of Lord Shiva, or the personality or the attributes of Lord Shiva, or Shivatva, that is called as. That is simply because he took shelter of your lotus feet, my Lord. That is the greatness of the feet of the Lord. Lord Shiva has attained his position as Lord Shiva. He has become Lord Shiva just because he has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And then Lord Brahma has become perfectly satisfied by taking shelter of you, Lord lotus feet, my Lord. Narad Muni is holding your lotus feet constantly at his bosom, at his chest, and relishing the touch of your soul to the skin of his chest all the time. So that is why, knowing all these things, I am dancing in ecstasy while taking shelter of your lotus feet. I have achieved freedom from all fear. I have achieved highest of all bliss simply by taking lotus feet as my shelter. Then he assures all of us and he expresses his confidence. Samsara vipade hoite avishya vidhar, avishya udhar. I am sure, I am myself convinced, and I guarantee everybody that all the miseries caused by living a material life in the material world will be surely vanquished or nullified or negated simply by taking shelter of your lotus feet. Avishya, 100% you will be delivered. And Bhakti Vinod, he says, myself, I have taken shelter of your lotus feet with full confidence to get relieved from the miseries of the material life. Hari Bol. So these two lotus feet of the Lord are the essence of life of all the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They represent fearlessness. They represent freedom from all lamentations. That is why, Kripaya tava pada pankaja stita dhuli sadrusham vichintaya. What does that mean? That I have somehow, O my Lord, fallen in the miserable, difficult ocean of birth and death. Somehow I have fallen, unfortunately. I am suffering and drowning in the ocean of birth, old age, disease and death and many kinds of sufferings. To relieve me, O my Lord, I am unable to come out myself also. Please pick me up, my Lord. Please, Kripaya. Please pick me up and place me at the dust of your lotus feet. Why is he saying that? Because when you are at the dust of the feet of the Lord, or at the feet of the Lord, or touching the dust that is touching the Lord's feet, it is the most safe position. It is most secured position. Freed from all insecurities, of all kinds of insecurities. Insecurities of life, insecurities of wealth, of position, of all the attributes. All kinds of insecurities that we go through are immediately vanquished. That is why a wise devotee is desiring to take shelter at the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. People try so many things. They go to clubhouses, nightclubs. They go to some beach. They do boatings and they do dance. They do disco. They do eat variety of things. They drink liquor and they have a lot of intoxications for two reasons. One, to get relieved from the stress that they have. They want to forget the miseries that they are going through. And they are trying to get some happiness in place of that constant misery that they are getting. So looking for happiness and trying to mitigate the existing miseries. For both these things we are attempting various options. But in the result, neither the miseries go away, nor the real happiness comes. Happiness may be there. It's a titillating, temporary, short-lived happiness. But when we actually come by the grace of a saintly personality, by the grace of a sincere devotee, we come to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. All the miseries, as Thakur Bhaktivinoda is saying, Dukhe duro gyolo opada varane. As soon as I am connected with the lotus feet of the Lord in service, all my miseries are finished. And I am enjoying the divine nectar of the happiness, of the bliss. That is the very nature of my own existence, my own self, Atman. And this is what I think all of us are looking for, this only. At this moment of time, all of you are engaged in plucking the petals from the flowers. Someone has got white flowers, someone has got red flowers, someone has got pink flowers, someone has yellow flowers, someone has got a variety of flowers, fragrant flowers. It is said that you all should know while you are doing these things. Service to the Lord, done with love and affection, love and devotion, is the strongest and the most possible thing to bind the Lord with you. There is nothing else can bind the Lord. Lord is a big swarat, totally independent. Nobody can bind. The people who are doing meditations for thousands of years and many, many lifetimes, people who are doing austerities, people who are doing knowledge acquisitions, or people are doing good activities, or yajnas, or karmakandas, so many variety of activities, knowledge seeking, tapasya, dhyan, meditation. It is said that the Lord's body is very effulgent, and the Lord's body is emanating millions and trillions of rays of divinity, of Brahma Jyoti. Even His nails are emanating millions of rays. Not even one ray coming from one nail is visible to all these people who are trying to do some good karma, acquiring knowledge, meditation, austerities. And that same very Lord who is so difficult to attain, forget about catching Him. Forget about getting hold of Him. That same very Lord is easily bound by those who serve Him with love and devotion. An example is given that the gopis who are neither great performers of auspicious activities, in one sense, like karmakandis, they are not people who are greatly knowledged or studying learned scriptures. They may not be great meditators. They may not be great tapasvis performing austerities. But they have love and devotion for the Lord. So, in Braj language, it is explained that, you know, the ladies, they make plait of the long hair, sometimes two plaits, sometimes four plaits. So they tie him in one of the plait and they drag him with him. There's a saying in Braj language. That Lord which is impossible to attain by all these big, big, big spiritualists or people on path of divine attainment. They can't see even one ray, but the simple coward girls, village girls, they are tying the Lord with the hair plait and pulling Him with them wherever they want to take Him. That same Lord is so difficult to attain, they give, you know, a palm full of buttermilk. In Braj language it's called chullu. Chullu means which can fit in your palm, which can make the milk into curd. That much quantity is called chullu. It may be practically 10 to 15 ml. What your hand can achieve. For that much buttermilk, the gopis make that Supreme Lord dance. And He dances and then He raises His hand and they put some buttermilk and He has it. And He again puts His hand after licking that and they say, dance again for next session. Then we will give you. And He again will dance. And then they will direct Him. Dance this way. Move your hands like this. Turn like this. Do this. Do that. Go circles. And then He will do that. And then again He will put His hand forward and some buttermilk will come. And He will again lick that and again He will raise that hand and then they will say, dance again next session. So this is that Lord who is inconceivable, unachievable. The simple coward boys and coward girls are making him dance at their own whims. And he's dancing and dancing and dancing just to please them. Why? Because they have won him. They have won his heart by their service, by their love and affection. This love is the highest achievement of human life. Human life, the goal of human life is not to only to realize God. Sakshatkar or realizing God is only a first step in spiritual achievement. But after we realize the Lord, as our Master, as our Father, as our eternal well-wisher, eternal maintainer, then comes connection. Then we connect with Him through chanting His holy name, through reading scriptures, through hearing the stories of the Lord, and through serving the Lord. There is a connection. When this connection becomes complete and perfect, then love develops. And attaining that love for the Lord is actually goal of life. So you may have realized the Lord. You may be knowing everything about the Lord. You may know every aspect of all personality of God, all attributes, all qualities. But still, we may not have connection with Him. And we may not have that bond of love and affection. We may not have taken the shelter. We may not have taken the experience of what it means to take shelter of the Lord. How does it feel when you take shelter of the Lord? So, it's a very wonderful thing to have this opportunity to get engaged in service to the Lord, knowingly or unknowingly. And I'm sure all of you are from all various countries of this world. And when you all chanted Hare Krishna Maha Mantra together, that is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. That is what Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, Thakur Bhaktivinod Ji and his son, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and also Srila Prabhupada, they all were envisioning. Thakur Bhaktivinod had one dream one time. When he was chanting in the middle of the night, you know, going up and down the gallery of his house on first floor. I've been to that place. It exactly across Jalangi River, and beyond Jalangi is our temple of ISKCON Mayapur. And he saw a brilliant light across Jalangi from his gallery. And he saw in that brilliant light a beautiful temple, which was not existing, but he just had a vision. And along with that, very important, he saw many people from many countries of the world having different skin colors were raising their hand and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Please note that when you, all of us from different parts of the world, speaking different language from different countries, different cultures, different upbringings, different education, different kind of culture that we have. When we chant together the holy name of the Lord is extremely pleased. Extremely pleased. That is why Srila Prabhupada actually desired and instructed his devotees to come together at least once in a year in Mayapur for Gaur Purnima festival, to have GBC meetings and to come there together, so that the vision that Sri Bhaktivinod Thakur had in the middle of the night will become a reality regularly. And to participate in such a gathering and to be able to chant the holy name of the Lord together with variety of people of human race all over the world is actually entering into the realm of divine mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showering His loving mercy, His bliss of Sankirtan, the bliss of Rasa Leela, He's showering on all human beings through the method of chanting the holy name congregationally, together. And when we do that, we actually enter Rasa Leela at Bansiwat or at Chandra Sarovar or at every atom of Braj Bhumi where Rasa Leela is being performed. We enter in that realm, not physically, on the spiritual plane. connecting with the bliss that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showering on all of us. So today is flower festival organized by the divine will of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. We are very, very grateful to him for being very innovative, creative in the realm of divinity. And some of us may ask, where is the origin of Pushpa Abhishek? Where is the origin in scriptures? So the word Pushya means this is a Paush Mas. This is the Indian calendar is Paush Mas. The month of Indian calendar is called Pausha. So when we say of Pausha, that means Pushya. Pushya means of Pausha month. So at this time, in a particular day or in the season, the flower petals are created and they are showered on the Lord. Abhishekam. And it's also called as Pushpa Abhishek. Because we are doing showering with the petals of the Lord, of the flowers. So both is right. Pushya Abhishek or Pushpa Abhishek. When Lord Krishna left Vrindavan and he went to Mathura, and first he met that one who makes, dyes the clothes, you know, Ranga Karmi. That means he, after the clothes are made, freshly made, you need to color fix them. So that person is called Ranga Karmi. He was not a washerman. He was the color dyer. So he was killed by Krishna because he refused to serve him. Krishna gave him opportunity. In fact, it is explained that he had performed lot of tapasya in the past lives to deserve the darshan of the Lord. And Lord, remembering his tapasya, gave himself an opportunity by coming himself personally to take darshan. And he also offered service to him, which is the greatest blessing of the Lord. If Lord offers you service, it is the greatest blessing. That also Lord offered. But being associated with Kamsa, the wicked person, he also developed that wicked nature. So although he had performed tapasya himself for getting something, he got that also, but he rejected that. So Lord immediately killed him. Of course he gave him liberation, but he killed him. And then all the clothes were worn by the coward men. See, all the coward boys were walking with Krishna. And first time they have come to city. They are village boys. They are wearing village clothes, very simple. There is no big discipline in the kind of culture in the village. Very simple people, very loving, very simple hearted. But they came to city, so they were very curious and they were looking here and there. But they felt that, oh Krishna, we don't have very good clothes and we are not fitting in the culture in the city here. So that is why Krishna had gone to that person to ask for clothes. And that person chastised Krishna. What do you think of yourself? These are king's clothes. You don't deserve them. So Krishna killed them. Anyway, took his clothes. Anyway, he took away all the clothes. And not only he and Balaram, but all the coward boys, they wore those clothes. But the clothes were of big man, that is Kamsa. Big sized. And the boys were very small. So when they started walking, they told Krishna that it looks like we have come to sweep the streets of Mathura. Our clothes are so long, like when we are walking, we are sweeping also the streets of Mathura. And this is becoming very uncomfortable. Can we just alter these clothes to fitting our size? And that's how they came to that tailor. And the tailor also was an associate of Kamsa, but he was a devotee of the Lord. So Krishna said, can you alter these clothes? So he nicely sat and altered everybody's clothes, fitting them to their size. And then the coward boys were very happy. Now Vrajbasis, they have two habits every day. They like to wear a garland and they like to put sandalwood pulp on their forehead. So they said, Krishna, now we have got good clothes, matching the city culture, kingly clothes. And now we have got also the clothes fitting to our size. Now what is lacking is garland. Can we get some garland? So they went to Sudama, the flower vendor. Sudama was a very simple devotee of the Lord. He had only one business. He would grow flowers, he'd make garlands, and he will give it to Kamsa. But he was a great devotee. He would serve Krishna with those flowers also. One time is only Sadhanath Maharaj told the story of Vishnu Chittar. Vishnu Chittar is one of the great devotees in South India. Simply by hearing the pastime of Sudama flower vendor, this Vishnu Chittar gave up all the business and simply became a flower vendor. He started growing flowers in a small courtyard and he would simply make garlands and offer to the Lord. That became his sole activity. With so much of love and devotion, affection and tears in eyes, he would make those garlands of the flowers grown up by him only and would offer to the Lord. And later he gave birth to a great daughter called Andal. And it's a long story, but the story of Sudama is so inspiring that one of the great devotees in South India just gave up everything and took up this profession. He attained perfection of life simply by growing flowers, plucking flowers, making garlands, offering to the Lord. And his daughter attained Lord Ranganath as her husband. Lord Ranganath sent a palanquin to bring her to get married with him. Imagine, Lord Ranganath instructed the Purohits, the Pujaris, send a palanquin, my would-be queen is coming, I want to get married with her. And she was brought on the Lord's palanquin. And finally, she got married with Lord Ranganath and disappeared in the body of Ranganath. Such miraculous events, divine events happened simply by the inspiration of Sudama flower vendor. And why I am telling all these stories to you? While Krishna is traversing from one location to another, from the Rangakarmi, that is one, the first color dyer, then to the tailor, then to the flower vendor, all the while, the ladies of Mathura are running from their house. Some of them were feeding the children on their breasts. They left the children and ran. Some of them were having some pots of uncooked food on the stove. They left that gas as it is and they ran. Some of them were feeding their husbands. Some of them were dressing themselves. Some of them were taking baths. Some of them were dressing themselves. Some of them were putting ornaments and mascara and so many things. Some of them were feeding the cows. Some of them were sweeping their house. Some of them were washing their clothes and drying the clothes. So many household activities. But all of them unanimously dropped their work and ran on the terrace of their palatial buildings of Mathura. This is exactly like the gopis when they heard the flute, the way they ran in the middle of the night in the forest at Bansiwat, not fearing the wild animals, not fearing the darkness, not fearing anything. They just ran like anything. The similar experience was there in Mathura also. The only difference was because Mathura is Mathura and Vrindavan is Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan they ran straight to Krishna. In Mathura they ran over the terrace of their buildings. And what did they do? Any guess? They were showering flowers and flowers and flowers and flowers on the Lord. For a long time, the moment Krishna entered, from that time onwards till Krishna did all the pastimes, afterwards he met Trivakra, Kubja and straightened her, accepted her Chandan. Then after that he killed Kulapid. All the while he was traversing from the highways, the main roads of Mathura. And the ladies of Mathura were simply showering multiple fragrant, multicolored fragrant flowers on Krishna. There were rains of flowers on Krishna and Balaram. They were offering their love and devotion. They were shedding tears of love while they were doing this. They were beholding their beautiful forms, decorated with kingly clothes, with multiple colored, fragrant garlands. And they were showering their love, although they were not able to come and touch the body of the Lord or have physical interactions with Him by His glance. But Krishna was glancing upon them. They were glancing on Krishna and they were expressing their love. It is explained that Sri Krishna entered their hearts in invisible form, in subtle form, and embraced each of the lady of Mathura in reciprocation of their love. So, flower festival, flower abhishek, flower showering is bona fide. It is a very wonderful activity when we read Krishna book, this is not highlighted in a sense that it becomes a major activity. Our attention is on Krishna. He is going to one person to another person, and then he is blessing them, and finally he is meeting Kubja, and she is offering chandan. She offered chandan to everybody very boldly, right in front of the house of Kamsa. So our focus is on Krishna. But there is a background activity constantly happening while this is happening. The showers of flowers constantly falling on Krishna. When Krishna was born in Mathura, he was born on the 8th day of the Shravan month of the waning moon. And then he also took birth in Gokul from Yashoda. The second part of the Rohini Nakshatra, Krishna was born in Mathura from Devaki. And the third part of Rohini Nakshatra, Krishna was born in Gokul from Yashoda. And all while there are four parts of Nakshatra. Any Nakshatra has four parts, time-wise. Four time divisions. That's called Charana. So all throughout the Rohini Nakshatra, the demigods were constantly showering flowers on Mathura, on Yamuna and on Gokul. Such a vast land, part of land. All of Mathura, not because of Kamsa being there, but being Krishna being born. Although mother and father were in prison house, still Krishna took birth in the prison to honor the mother and father. To glorify the prison also, where his mother and father lived and gave him birth. And that is where flowers were being showered by demigods. It is said Devarishis, Devatas, Devis, they were coming in their airplanes, one after another, filled with flowers. And celestial flowers, what is the nature of celestial flowers? They don't fade. They only grow. They only blossom. They don't fade like our flowers. Our flowers fade. But these flowers don't fade. So they have umpty amount of flowers there. Unlimited. Tons and tons of flowers. And so fragrant and so beautiful. You can't even imagine the beauty of those flowers compared to our flowers over here. Those flowers were filled in their huge airplanes. And they were hovering over Mathura and Jamuna and Gokul. And going back again and again, filling up, again showering, filling up, again showering. So when Vasudeva was actually traversing from the prison house of Kamsa and he came to Yamuna, there was rains. At the same time, there were flower rains also. There were multiple flowers being showered by demigods, and Indra also was showering water rains. And this same thing continued while the Jamuna divided, gave passage. When he entered Gokula, when everybody was sleeping, but the flower rains were continuously going on. Till the Nandotsav ended, the next morning they realized Krishna was born to Yashoda, and they celebrated Nandotsava, the great celebration of Krishna's birth in Gokul, Yashoda Nandana. And all throughout the time, the flowers were being showered from the sky. And it is not only from the sky. When the information came to all the gopis in Gokul, Yashoda Devi gave birth to a baby boy. They were so happy. Their long cherished desire was fulfilled. So they carried so many flowers. First of all, they decorated themselves with so many flowers, with garlands on their beautiful hair, decorating the plaits of the hair. They had, wrist garlands of flowers, arm garlands of flowers, waist garlands of flowers, flowers flowing from their waist down. And they also had lots of flowers in their basket, and they were showering everywhere. It is said that when they were walking towards the palace of Nanda Maharaj to see the divine darshan of the baby boy born to Yashoda, at that time, all the flowers, because they were running quickly and their bodies were very heavy, they could not run so fast, but with that whatever movement was taking place, lots of flowers were being shaded, and the roads of Gokul were completely filled with flowers. And then they also brought flowers with them. And they were showering flowers on Krishna, Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Rohini, baby Balaram, and all the ladies there, everybody. They were showering flowers on the men in happiness, on the ladies in happiness. So they were using flowers as a means to express their love. What are we doing? We are doing the same thing. Flowers are one of the many beautiful items through which we can express our love for the Lord. Srila Prabhupada also explained that when we offer flowers, the mood of offering flowers is, oh my Lord, I am offering my heart to your lotus feet. I am giving my heart to you. This is the mood of offering flowers. When we do aarti, when we offer flowers, the mood is the same thing. Oh my Lord, please accept my life, myself at your lotus feet through these flowers. Every single day when we pluck the flower, make the garland, offer the flowers to the feet of the Lord and the body of the Lord, we are only praying, I am offering myself at your lotus feet. And this flower festival has been occurring multiple times in Krishna Leela. Even in Gaur Leela, Lord Gauranga was born, there were flower varshav, flower rains from skies. Lord Ramchandra was born, there were flower rains. The Lord Ramchandra entered Ayodhya from his exile after killing Ravana and bringing his wife back. What was happening in Ayodhya? Demigods were showering flowers. In Vrindavan, when Arushtasura was killed, demigods were showering flowers. Every time Krishna did a Herculean task of killing many demons, they were showering flowers. Also when Krishna was performing Rasa dance, they were showering flowers. So where there were no flowers, all the time there were flowers at the background. Today we are just focusing on the flowers. That's why all our attention is on the flowers. And one good thing that we should understand, that every flower has its own texture. Every flower has its own color. Every flower has its own fragrance, right? Own shape. Multi-petaled, small, thousand-petaled. There's one flower called Saugandhika, which Parvati used to grow in Mansarovar. These are 1,000 petals. A lotus of 1,000 petals. So we don't see them now. But today also, whatever flowers we are seeing, they have different colors. And all these flowers, they exist in spiritual world also. Please note. Whichever flower you are touching now, they all are existing in the spiritual world also. And whatever festivals we perform here, they are all net practice for the festival to be performed in the spiritual world. What you are going to do now, are doing now, is also going to be done by you when you will reach spiritual world. You are just practicing what you are going to do next. So this is a wonderful opportunity. The flower festival organization is a wonderful opportunity for us to practice those things what we are going to do eternally in the spiritual world. So as much as love and devotion and affection we invest in our activity today is going to be our fruitful return when we'll go back home back to Godhead. All that we practice here will be collectively with us when we reach the spiritual world in service to Radha and Krishna, the cowherd boys and cowherd ladies in the association. One more thing we have to understand that you are, maybe in front of me they are plucking dark pink flowers. On right side they are plucking white flowers. They are plucking marigold, golden colored flowers, right? You will not know now when you are plucking those flowers when they will be showered on the Lord. But with your full heart you are plucking the flower, offering your heart full of devotion and love and leaving it to the people who are in that plan, in the divine plan of the management in the deity worship room, how they will sequence the flowers to be showered on the Lord. But you have offered your love here only and they will decide when to offer that collective love on the body of the Lord. And in the evening you will witness, oh, that marigold I had plucked, we had plucked together. See, now they are coming on the body of the Lord. Oh, now those pink flowers of rose petals are coming on the Lord. So there is a beautiful cooperation here. Every festival is an opportunity for us to engage our senses, our mind, our intelligence and our heart in service to the Lord. And develop love by that process. Festivals have only one purpose. To engage our senses, mind, body, intelligence and our own self with all the love and devotion and affection that we can gather to offer to the Lord, to get love of the Lord in return. And in our material world, there are festivals coming after some time, not every day. In the spiritual world, Festivals are every day. Spiritual world is the world of festivities. Every single day is a festival. When Krishna was there in the material realm in Vrindavan Dham, that he had descended from spiritual world, every day was a festival. Every single day was variety of festival. One of them was flower festival. Every single day was a dancing festival, cow herding festival, worshipping festival, eating festival, roaming in Yamuna, jumping in Yamuna, having water pastimes, throwing water on each other, boat pastimes, having boats, boating in the water reservoirs of Vrindavan Dham. But the bottom line in all the festivals that are done over here, or done in the spiritual world, or in the Vrindavan of the material world here, is cooperation. Cooperation is the highest virtue to make the festival successful in the fruit of getting love of Lord Godhead. If our goal of the festival is to attain love of Godhead, cooperation is the key. Because you all don't know while plucking the flowers, when your flowers are, petals are going to be offered to the Lord. Somebody else is going to do that for you. And you are going to witness that. But your gesture of cooperation is that, I am doing my part, they are doing their part. And finally, our Lord is going to be very happy. The purpose of festival is to please the Lord. Goal of human life is to please the Lord. Goal of every activity that we do or we attempt to do, we want to do, is to please the Lord. Sam Siddhir Hari Toshanam. And that is why we are here, offering our hearts in full cooperation. None of you are going to say, offer my pink flowers first, I pluck them. Offer my white flowers first, offer my golden flower first. All of you are going to just witness the divine plan of the Lord. How he wants to get showered through his beloved devotees. And all your service that you are offering now is 100% going to be accepted by the Lord through the hands of somebody else. And you are not competing with those hands. You are offering your hands now in service to the Lord. And then you are surrendering yourself to the authority, the plan that has been made. And you will happily witness the way the sequence is being made. But finally, you will come to know that each and every petal that you plucked has been offered on the divine body of the Lord and has given the pleasure to the Lord. I remember one festival in Vrindavan Dham when Krishna came. That is called Sanji Festival. Sanji Festival is a very wonderful festival which is performed in Vrindavan Dham from 15th day of Bhadra, that is Bhadra Purnima, to the no moon night, dark moon night, 15 days, which we celebrate here Pitru Paksha. We perform all the Shraddha to all the ancestors. At that time, we don't celebrate anything here. But Braj Bhumi is beyond all the rituals of the material world. There is no Pitru Paksha and Shraddha and no ancestral activities. There's a beautiful festival of Sanji. There's one form of Parvati Devi called Sanji Devi. And they make Sanji Devi out of cow dung. On the walls, on the floor. Beautiful. And 5 days of the Sanji festival is, 10 days of flower festival of the Sanji festival is with flower petals. Out of 15 days, 10 days the Sanji is decorated with flowers. And next 5 days from Ekadashi to Purnima, Ekadashi to dark moon night, it is with colors. Now, all the gopis, they are wandering in the forests of Vrindavan, where they know good flowers are there. One of the flower forest is Kusum Van, which is containing the Kusum Sarovar of Govardhan. Kusum Sarovar is in the Kusum Van, where varieties of flowers are growing in large abundance. And then there is one forest called Padarvan, which is near Barsana, where gopis come to pluck flowers. There are specific places where gopis come to pluck flowers. So at one time, there was Saji Usav going on, and the cowherd boys came to Krishna and they told, today the gopis are going to pluck flowers at Kusumvan near Govardhan. And we want to go there and tease them and disturb them and trouble them, because they are troubling us too much. So why not make a plan to go together ahead of them and disturb them while they are plucking flowers? Krishna that day had a different plan. Krishna wanted to do something alone. So he pretended to the cowherd boys, he said, "Today I am sick, so I won't come to herd the cows with you." And he knew that Kusum Sarovar is far, and if he doesn't come with them, they will not go so far. When Krishna goes, they will go far for herding the cows. When Krishna doesn't go for some reason, a birthday is there or something is there at home, he won't go, then they will go close by and come back, because they can't stay away from Krishna for a long time. So they will not have a day long of cow herding. So as soon as Krishna said, "I'm not going to go," Krishna knew they are not going to go so far as Kusum Sarovar. So they will go nearby and they'll come back. In the meantime, I will go alone far away to Kusum Sarovar. You get the point? So cowherd boys herded their cows close by and they returned, only to find Krishna is not there, gone somewhere. And Krishna alone went all the way to Kusum Sarovar, Kusum forest. Kusum means flower. Forest of flower. There's Kusum one. Pushpa one. Suman one. So what happened? Gopis were already immersed in plucking the flowers. Now I'm going to tell a very important thing. Listen attentively. When gopis are told to pluck flowers, who is guiding them? Vrinda Devi is guiding them. Vrinda Devi has a plan of full pastime to be performed on that day evening for 12 hours, sunset to sunrise. And then she will tell all the gopis what kind of decorations to be done. And she will make a group of gopis and tell them, "You all have to pluck the flowers, please go." And then she will tell individual gopi. For example, Champaklata, you pluck yellow flowers. Indulekha, you pluck red flowers. Like that, each and every gopi will be in that group, will be told which color flower to be plucked. And please understand, when a gopi is told to pluck a yellow flower, in the world of her life, nothing exists that time except yellow flower. All her consciousness, all her focus is on yellow flowers only. She will not see if my fellow gopi next to me is plucking a better flower than me of different color, and I don't have the privilege of plucking that flower. They are not concerned. They are very satisfied and fully engrossed with all their heart, all their mind, all their intelligence, all their body in plucking only yellow flower. And the one who is plucking pink flower is not looking anywhere in the world but to the pink flower. So like you are plucking golden flower, what is expected is you are only focusing on the golden flower. Because that is where, through that golden flower, is the opportunity for you to offer your heart of love and devotion and affection for the Lord. That is gopi's absorption. One time somebody asked His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, "How do you define devotion, bhakti, in one word?" So he answered, "Absorption." If I have to define bhakti in one word, is absorption. When we come to the stage of full absorption, no distraction, no diversion, then we come to a stage of absorption. In Sanskrit we say magnata. We become mugdha. Mugdha means we become completely blissful in our engrossment. It's not only engrossment, we're not only getting engrossed, but we are blissful in a focused way. We are mugdha in that situation. When such kind of absorption is experienced in doing a particular service to Krishna, Krishna gets extremely pleased. Extremely pleased. So they were absorbed like that. Each and every gopi were absorbed in plucking their flowers. They didn't know what the other gopi is doing and which color flower she is plucking. And suddenly, the gardener came with a big mustache, big turban, big mole on his right side of the cheek, having ferocious eyes with black mascara on that, having a big rod in his hand to punish miscreants, and wearing half dhoti, half size dhoti till the knees. He had leather shoes, heavy shoes making big sound, and he was thumping that rod on the ground and was walking towards the gopis. But gopis were absorbed. They were not knowing what's happening. Suddenly one gopi woke up from the absorption and came to know, "Hey Radhe, hey Lalita, hey Vishakha, look, look, the gardener is coming, he's going to punish us now." So everybody became conscious from their meditation. But by the time they wanted to run away, they realized that their clothes, what they were wearing on top, top clothes, they were all stuck in the thorns of the bushes of the flower plants. They didn't realize while they were plucking that their clothes were getting stuck in the thorns. So they wanted to run, but they soon realized that they were stuck. So when they were about to release their clothes from the thorns, the flowers that they had plucked fell down on the ground. And in the process, all the gopis could only rescue themselves from the thorns, and by the time they could rescue and run away, they had hardly any flowers with them. And all of them could run away, but Radharani could not run away because her clothes were stuck with many, many thorns. And she would release clothes from this thorn, that thorn would get attached to the clothes. And in that effort, she was sweating out of fear that she was going to be caught. And the sound of thumping of the rod was coming closer and closer and closer, indicating that the gardener was coming closer and closer and closer. And by the way, "Radhe, Radhe, run, run. The gardener is coming to catch us. Please run." She wanted to run, but she could not run. And finally, she was a alone gopi, stuck in the bushes, struggling to remain, keep the flowers and struggling to release herself. But she could not, and the gardener came right in front of her, and big eyes staring at her, and scolded her, "You girls are coming here, you don't plant the flower plants, you don't water them, you don't maintain them, and you just come to take flowers from the plants? I will arrest you, I will take you to the king, and you will be arrested today." So Radharani was trembling, and suddenly she saw the flute at the waist belt of Krishna, of that gardener. And she understood that he is Krishna. Also it is said that while he was scolding, he could not scold for a long time. He just smiled in between. When he smiled, she understood that he is Krishna. And he said, "Oh, I was so scared. I was so scared to death. But now I am so happy to know that it is you, it is not the cruel gardener. Why did you do this?" So Krishna said, "Today I had desire to meet you alone, without any of the gopis. That is why I arranged to chase the gopis away and you to remain here. Let us all go in the forest and have pastimes." And he asked Radharani, "Why you have come here?" So "We have come here to pluck the flowers, obviously you know. So why are you, what are you doing with the flowers?" He said, "We are going to make garlands and offer you." So "What do you do?" So "We go every day, pluck the flowers and wash the flowers in Yamuna water. And then we make garlands. And today the flowers have fallen in the dust because we were struggling to get released from the bush. In the process, the flowers which were collected in the cloth, they all fell down in the dust. Now, how do I clean?" He said, "We go to Yamuna." So Krishna said, "Okay, let's go to Yamuna." Radharani said, "No, how can I walk with you in public? It will be a very great embarrassment for me. So I cannot go." He was insisting, "Come, come." He said, "I cannot go with you." Then he said, "Okay, if you go to Yamuna and clean your flowers, today I will bring Yamuna over here. And in private situation, we will clean the flowers." So he just thumped the ground over there by his heel. He created a big hole and he invoked Yamuna there. And thus was formed the huge Kusum Sarovar, what we see today at the bottom of Govardhan. So the Kusum Sarovar is Yamuna, created by Krishna's will and created by Krishna's heel thumped on the ground. And then they sat down at the banks of the Kusum Sarovar and cleaned the flowers. And Radharani said, "So shall I go now?" So Krishna said, "I have one desire before you go." So "What is your desire?" So Krishna said, "I want to decorate your hair with these plucked flowers and clean flowers. Can I decorate your hair?" So Radharani lovingly agreed. And then she sat with her back towards Krishna Krishna sat behind her and he braided her hair. He made into her hair into beautiful plaits. And then he decorated her hair with all those plucked flowers. And all the while, Radharani was holding a mirror. Generally, when we get decorated by the beautician, what are we doing? We are seeing ourselves. How you are being decorated? Is it good or not? Am I looking beautiful or not? So all the focus is on us. And the mirror is used to see only us. But was Radharani seeing herself while she was being decorated? No. She was unable to stay away from looking at the face of Krishna because she was having back to Krishna. So she was using the mirror to see Krishna's face decorating her all the while. She was not interested in how she was looking. She was looking all time at Krishna, who was engrossed in decorating the beautiful hair of Radharani. And after that, her hairdressing was over. And then she turned to Krishna and Krishna said, "You're looking so beautiful." And Radharani said, "Thank you very much." And then suddenly realized, "Oh, I'm so late. Today I'm supposed to get the flowers and decorate the flower Sanji at home and I'm too late." So Krishna said, "Don't worry. I will decorate your Sanji. I will go ahead of your time and decorate your personal Sanji at home." So Krishna disguised as Shama Sakhi. He became a gopi called Shama Gopi and ran ahead of time to home of Radharani as a friend of Radharani and decorated the Sanji so beautifully. By the time Radharani came, she saw the beautiful Sanji decorated by Krishna himself, and that was the best Sanji on that day in the whole village of Barsana, because all the gopis were making Sanjis at their doorstep. How the Sanji is made? They make a platform, huge platform, say 5 feet by 5 feet, an octagon or a hexagon or a square, and they will put a layer of cow dung. They let it dry. And after they dry the cow dung, then they decorate the whole octagon or a hexagon or a square with flowers. They will make Krishna, Radharani in between. They'll make trees. They'll make forests. They'll make variety of pastimes. They will decorate as boating pastime. They'll decorate as Rasalila pastime. They will decorate as many other pastimes, Krishna stealing butter. And variety of leelas they will depict on the platform. And that platform which is decorated is offered to the Devi called Sanji Devi as an offering, Sanji offering. And in the evening after offering to Sanji Devi, everybody will go to take darshan of the beautiful Sanji. That's how every single day the Sanji festival is performed. And the important ingredient of the first 10 days of Sanji festival is flowers. So the Lord has given us an opportunity by creating flowers to offer those flowers at the feet of the Lord. Flowers are the important media for all of us to offer our heart to Krishna. And it's a very beautiful, beautiful activity. Whenever you will offer flowers to Krishna, now onwards, anytime future, if you have the feeling in the heart that I'm offering my heart to you, my Lord, you will feel so nice. You feel so happy. It's a very wonderful, divine way of expressing our heart's love through the medium of flowers. Growing flowers, making garlands. In our temple, in the many, many temples in ISKCON, they are making flower pieces for earrings, flower pieces for over the beautiful head of the Lord, of Radharani, flower pieces for garland, flowers for nose rings, flowers for wristbands. So many varieties of flower pieces on the waist, as you know, the keys are put in the ladies are putting keys there. Nice ornament is there. That is made of the flower. Variety of color combinations are there. The life of this only 1 hour, maybe 2 hours it will stay. To make it will take many hours. But the many hours of effort is an opportunity for us to offer our heart to Radha and Krishna. Today also, you will pluck the flowers for the whole day. And it will be only half an hour, 45 minutes activity to shower 1500 kilos of flower petals. You have spent 10 hours or 12 hours, and in 2 hours all the flowers will be offered to the Lord. Yeah? Like we cook the food, it takes about 6 hours to cook a feast. And how much time it takes to eat? Half an hour. Sometimes youngsters 5 minutes, 10 minutes also. But the effort is an opportunity to express our love to the Lord. So these hours of effort that we are doing is an opportunity to offer our love to the Lord. Let us all try to offer our heart, our love, affection, devotion to the Lord and make this divine plan successful. Finally, in the end of the Lord, when these flower petals will be showered on the Lord will be pleased. Radharani will be pleased. And when Radharani and Shamsundar is pleased, Gopinath is pleased, what do you get in return? Their love. You get their love, you get their acceptance. They accept you as his own, as their own. What is the biggest wealth of life? To be owned by the Lord. Apanara boli, please accept me as your own, my Lord. We are not saying, oh Lord, you are mine. We are saying, I am yours, my Lord. Please make me yours. And the Lord makes us his own property. He accepts us as his own loving children and keeps us in his shelter when he gets pleased with us. And more he gets pleased with us, then we will serve his devotees. When we will fulfill the desire of his pure devotees, then the Lord is very happy. So it's a desire of a pure devotee that Lord should be offered tons of flower petals, as rains of flower, as showers of flower, as bathing with flower. And we all are cooperating with that divine desire of a pure devotee to please the Lord through flower rains. So then we will please the devotee by fulfilling his desire. The Lord will be pleased. And the Lord will be pleased. We will be blessed with love and devotion. We will be blessed with the situation of being Lord's own property. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If you have any question, or maybe you are too engrossed, I don't want to disturb your engrossed situation. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Thank you.